This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Tonight, the president says he sees a solution to the North Korean crisis. And what is that? That's where we're going to start first. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Yep, he's saying that there's great chemistry that he has with the Chinese leader. And he's saying he thinks they could find solutions to the trade disputes and the North Korean crisis. So they have these crucial talks, and they are crucial, let's face it, with the nonsense that's happening in North Korea. They said that the morning meeting, or Trump said the morning meeting, was excellent in discussing what could be ultimately the best solution. He didn't elaborate on what that is. But, of course, China has a bully pulpit. They have some strings, actually, that they can pull, and that's economic leverage over North Korea. That's the key. So if Pyongyang doesn't want to halt nuclear weapons and missile programs, China can pull those strings. And it's interesting because this is an important trip for the president, since we have interests in Asia and have a lot of, frankly, investment in troops there. So this was the first state visit to China, and it is the traditional honor that they do with presidents, where they have Chinese anthems and ceremonial cannon fires and military honor guards, like what you would expect, all the dress-up stuff that happens when foreign leaders visit the United States, frankly, and they're at the White House. It's that same thing. Although you had a lot of people that were involved in this. You had children in mass waving U.S. and Chinese flags, and, you know, after the president had gone to a tour of the Forbidden City, and then there was an opera and a private dinner, but just that you had a throngs of people coming out, too. So it was public in one sense. That idea of this massive deal between U.S. and Chinese companies is another thing. There's a signing ceremony that's happening, and that's big. But I think the main thrust of this is, what are we going to do about North Korea? What can we do about North Korea? I mean, that's key. And not knowing what that is, it's hard to try to make any kind of a judgment on it, except for to say that I think it's smart that there wasn't any great revelations that came out of it, because let this develop and then certainly we'll know what that is. Sometimes there's a tendency to throw out too many details. And if that happens, well, then, of course, North Korea would know every single thing that was planned. So naturally, that's what you wouldn't see happen. And this is the day after, meaning now there is some thought as to what happened in this last election. And across the land, who were the people that were elected? And Republicans are trying to figure out what they need to do. And Jeff Flake says the Republicans need more of an inclusive message. He said the Democratic Party's victories nationwide prove that Republicans would do better that way, that there's something that you could learn from. And he's the Republican senator from Arizona who's not going after a second term. He's saying you can rile up the base and win an election here or there, but in the end, you've got to appeal to a broader electorate, to the suburbanites and so many others, too. Because if you look at the residents in Northern Virginia, the suburbs outside of Washington and whatnot, they elected instead the Democrat Ralph Northam over Republican Ed Gillespie. And there was also a lot of Democrats who won races in suburbs outside of New York City and Philadelphia. I don't know that that's a shock to me if you look at the demographics necessarily there. So another election day has come and gone, and there were a few things besides Democrats winning certain seats. There were also a couple of other votes that were important in some states, like Maine voted to expand Medicaid. So they voted to do it by state referendum. 68% of the people reporting late on Tuesday led the charge, and the Republican governor had vetoed Medicaid expansion bills six times. It's not popular with Republicans, but Maine's legislature is almost evenly divided politically with Democrats and Republicans. So now what this does is it makes more people eligible for Medicaid coverage. So that was part of what the deal was there. And again, that was a very big fight in all kinds of directions on what was going to happen in Maine. In the meantime, the situation in Puerto Rico, I've gotten some emails from some of you about what's happening there, and FEMA is going to fly about 3,000 Puerto Ricans to New York and Florida. That's what they're saying. It's that dire. So just a month ago, we were talking about Hurricane Maria slamming into Puerto Rico as a Cat 4 storm. So see how we start off with North Korea and the meeting with the Chinese. Then we move into the Democrats winning a lot of seats this time around, in whether it's a governorship or whether it's a city council seat or whether it's a Senate seat, etc. And then we go into Puerto Rico because those who are politicians on the Hill especially have some say in this. And the island doesn't have electricity in some areas still, running water or food, so FEMA decided 3,000 are out of there, and they're going to go to shelters. And these are the survivors. 55 people died during the hurricane or after, which sometimes happens. Most of the territory, including some of the outer islands, still don't have that electricity, still have roads that are closed. And a lot of the hospitals are functioning, but a lot aren't. And so there's thousands of people who are displaced. And now what's being said is there's this urgency and there's this priority that's been given to some people, so that's why that number is that number, and because there's shelters just taking them out of there to try to sort all of this out. It's just that bad. And you want to talk about something that is sorely missing the people that it needs, and that is the Border Patrol. I have a friend that was in television news, and he left and he went to work for the Border Patrol, and he told me that a lot of people were bailing on it. So it's no surprise to me that the Government Accountability Office releases an audit on Wednesday, and it shows that the Border Patrol employed about 19,500 agents as of May 2017, fewer than the figure of 21,370 that had been the legal minimum since 2011. And part of the reason is because it's challenging. You have people that there's the hiring requirements, but you have people that decide they're going to leave it. They don't want to do it any longer. And they don't want to be deployed to the least desirable locations. And because the compensation isn't enough for some and they could get more money doing something else, the lure to the Border Patrol isn't quite what it was. Coming up, we dive into that mailbag. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Cardio FX from Longevity is designed specifically to promote optimal heart health. That's why Ben Fuchs recommends it.
You might want to think about using the Ultimate Cardio FX, which is a source of taurine. Each capsule in the Cardio FX has got a good dose of the B vitamins. It's got four major B vitamins in there, vitamin B12, niacin, vitamin B6, and folic acid. Numerous research studies have shown that the B vitamins and homocysteine, that toxic chemical that builds up in the body under B vitamin deficiency states, numerous studies have talked about lowering homocysteine as being far more relevant for protecting the heart than cholesterol numbers. If I was dealing with heart disease, I would be making sure I was getting enough B vitamins, I was getting enough vitamin C before I even thought about dealing with cholesterol or LDL or HDL.
If you're concerned about the health of your heart, order Cardio FX from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
All the time, but on this show, if you want to bang on the digits and knock on the door, I'll let you in at 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. It's kind of a plethora of things that we're talking about, so much I think is part of the buzz in the last couple of weeks anyway across the land. It's not just one thing, it's several things. Some of it is the heartbreak of these horrific shootings and then the aftermath and the victims that at first they get all the attention and then it slowly goes away because people go back to what their normal, so-called normal lives are. And many of you understand that, and that was part of what the emails consisted of this time around. So on that note, let's check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Well, thank you. This one is from Taylor, who says, Kate, I really feel as though you have compassion for people. I can hear that in your voice as I've listened to you now for the past year and a half or so. My schedule changes. I don't always get to hear you live, but you mentioned TuneIn. I go there and download the shows and listen when I'm working out and whatnot. So thank you for that. And I agree with you about the victims. It seems as though so much is highlighted with the person who is the evildoer, and then the victims, it's sad, and people gasp, and they can't believe it, and they hug their own children or grandchildren or families tighter. But when you think of the repercussions of the one family losing so many members and a pregnant woman being killed for no reason by some deranged maniac who has it in for his wife and his mother-in-law, it is just beyond what one can process. I really pray for all of those people, and I think that's what we can say about it, other than donating money for funerals and that kind of thing and trying to help the survivors. There's not much more that many of us have to offer, only that in the United States, I think that we really do pull together in a crisis, and I think it's important to embrace those people in Texas who have gone through just evil, evil, hellish, horrible moments in that church on Sunday. Yeah, I would agree with you. It was terrible what happened, and what do you do, and how can you reach out, and what does that look like? And luckily, people are doing at least the things that have helped the survivors, but it's depressing. Okay, so then this one comes to us from Patrick, who says, "Oh, there's a place reserved in hell for that scumbag who killed those people who were at that church in Texas." No matter how frustrated or crazed or whatever somebody is, to really do what he did, it takes a special kind of evil, and it is just heartbreaking to hear those stories. In fact, Kate, so much so I can't even really watch any of the TV footage of it because I feel just so awful, and it is such a dark time, I think, in our history with some of these shootings. Yeah, coming off of the Vegas thing, and then the thing that happened in New York with the bicyclist, and now this in Texas. And of course, you know, there's this tendency now to say whatever, Vegas strong or this area strong, and I think that's good, because anything that, if it's a mantra or something that you hang on to and you let the world know we're okay, that's good. But we can't live in fear. I mean, anything can happen anywhere at any moment in our lives, and you know, we know that. I remember after 9/11, as I was close to that situation, since I had moved back east and I was back east and lived through that and was on the air at a big station in New York when that happened. The brilliant thing about it was that New Yorkers really pulled together afterwards and, you know, did what they could to help people, and then went on with life, not letting it tear apart people's lives and what they wanted to do and where they wanted to go. I mean, is it a good idea to be vigilant, to know where exits are, to look around, to do some safety things? Of course. But there is no definites. I mean, anything can happen anywhere. Certainly the bicycle path in Manhattan proved that. What are the odds of you happen to be on a bike at that moment, boom, and the next thing you're no longer with us? You have no clue that that's going to happen. There's no indication. Nobody has any indication of that. And that's the problem. All right, so let's move on to another topic. And let's go to Gabe. Kate, first time that I've written you. I really like the show. I am really paying attention to the president and this trip that he's making, especially his relationship in China and with the Chinese, because they have sway over North Korea economically, and they really hold some big cards, I think, in this whole thing. Do you think they'll stick with the plan to put pressure on North Korea? Well, it's to their advantage. If something should happen and any kind of a war is ignited, that'd be disastrous. China doesn't want that. And they do have some sway, some power, some whatever you want to say. Listen, you strangle off the economics of it, and the situation is the money's not flowing in the direction they want it to in North Korea. So, of course, there is some power there. How it's used and what happens, you know, we don't know. Then we get this one from Robert. Kate, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I happen to see this, and I know that you pay attention to sports, so I was wondering if you were eyeballing all these protests that are going on, and what some of the networks are saying about the protests and why they aren't necessarily showing them. Well, yeah, I do a sports show too on NBC, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And the national anthem protests, are they causing these advertisers to be a little skittish? Well, there was some kind of a fireside chat at a Verizon media tech program, and one of the conversations was about football, was about Sunday night football or Thursday night, or what, you know, what's on the table and what's not on the table, and what happened with the Papa John's CEO. And so they say there are a list of advertisers that have made themselves clear. If you cover the political coverage of the issue, we're not going to be part of the NFL, because think about it. They have half the country that's cheering about it, and they have half the country that's emailing them saying, don't do that, so that's a real thing. And I get what the advertisers are saying. They have they're paying big money for advertisements. So if half the country hates it and half the country loves it, which is where we're at, of course, on everything, it seems, then the advertiser, pound for pound, feels like they're the losers. And they don't want to be the losers if they're going to spend the money to support the broadcasts. So CBS CEO and chairman Les Moonves said on his evening call that there was no hesitation on the part of any of his network's NFL advertisers, saying, he said, I don't know if one advertiser has pulled out of any of the spots they had. I don't think it's affecting advertising or their desire one iota. But a different story on NBC, they're worried. The NBC Sports Group executive VP of ad sales, Dan Lovinger, told reporters recently that all but a handful of units have been sold for the Super Bowl, with some 30-second spots going for more than 5 million, rather. So the Super Bowl brings in about $350 million from in-game advertising, pre-game, post-game, all that stuff. That's a lot of money. And there's a concern about that. And what's interesting is we keep hearing about drops of listeners, or, you know, or viewers. And the Sports Business Journal reported that since the fall TV season started on September 25th, NFL game viewership is 2.5 times bigger than broadcast primetime viewership. And 17 of the top 20 shows that have aired since the start of football season are football game coverage. So, and that money spent on advertising during NFL games increased by 2% in September. So go figure, right? I think a lot of people are just weary of the same thing, of the same storyline for the past year and a half. And I personally believe the NFL screwed up. They could have owned this issue. They could have taken it out of the game and worked on it in the communities with the players, and they have not done that. All right, coming up next, author Larry Friend on his latest children's book here on ATN.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
How do you feel about squirrels? I'm going to introduce you to my pal, Larry Friend, and we've talked to him about Icy the Iceberg. He also has another book called Squirrely the Squirrel and Starlet. It's a children's book, and the boy, the story is so, so clever. So, Larry, once again, thanks so much for joining us. And as always, what drew you to writing about squirrels and making it into a children's book?
Well, what had happened was we had moved from Chicago to Libertyville, and we have 5.5 acres. And our house in the front of the book, my sister did draw our house. It was an old log cabin that was built in 1924, and a lot of people had bought it and added on to it. And I think that one of the people that lived there before me, there was an architect back in the 40s probably. I think he was maybe a student of Frank Lloyd Wright, because the house has a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright features. Well, what he did was he cut out a lot of the logs and he put windows in so you can see right through the house. And then in our bedroom, you go up a spiral staircase. That used to be his office. And that's all with the cantilevered windows and everything, and that's all glass. But then the people that bought it after that, they made that their bedroom. So behind the bed, there's one wall. I love the house because everywhere you're in the house, you get to see the outside. And especially in the morning when you wake up, it's all glass. And we can't put curtains there because of the angles of Frank Lloyd Wright. But so I used to see all these stories. And my wife, when she got there, she loved birds. So we put feeders up. I started watching the way the squirrels interacted with the feeders and how they would fight with different people and then how they get to the feeders and try the challenge of trying to conquer these feeders. And all the stories in the book are pretty much true. I did see one where during the fall, the squirrels will go out on the end of the maple leaves and they'll try to get the flying wing sort of things, and they get out to eat them and they have to go way out to the end of it. Well, one time I'm in bed and I watch the squirrel fall off and smash to the ground. And I said, wow, that's pretty interesting. So I put that in the book. And then we also had some bird feeders that have a ring at the bottom and there's a battery in them. And if the birds, it doesn't do anything, but the squirrel, he puts his weight on it, it spins around, And my wife was in her office, and she saw one of the squirrels come down and grab a hold of that, and he's spinning around. He's perpendicular, and he's going around and around, and finally he falls off, and he hits this, like, we have sort of a rock wall there, hit it and sort of got knocked out and sat there for a while. So all these stories, and watching that, I decided I'm going to write this book about squirrels. So I wrote it, Squirrely the Squirrel. But then I started thinking about my relationship with my wife, who's, we've been married 52 years, but she sort of was like starlet to me. And so I said, you know, I'm going to make it not only a squirrel story, but sort of a love story. And so he met a starlet, and my wife had these real big eyes when I met her. And so I made Starlet, she had her big eyes, and he was fascinated by her eyes and her eyelashes. And so that's how he interacted with her. And it just got to be a cute story, but it's also a love story, and there's a lot of meaning in it.
Yeah, and the idea in writing the story and pulling it together, as in your other book, I'm sure there are life lessons. What are you hoping the life lessons are that kids will get out of this?
Well, Squirrely has quite a few life lessons. One is Squirrely was a hard worker. That's the way I am. I like to work hard. And he was a hard worker, and his brother was lazy, so he was named Sluggo. And he just did not listen to his father, didn't listen to the warnings about hawks or anything. And he would let Squirrely do all the work under the corn feeder, and he'd just lay there and eat the corn. Well, one day, though, he was taken away by a hawk. So that was sort of a lesson of you've got to listen to your parents because they know what to teach you as you get older. But then also later in life, Squirrely would miss Sluggo. He says, you know what, if he hadn't been taken away, could we have changed him? Could we have made him better? And that was one lesson there. The other lesson I had was when I saw Squirrely fall out of the maple tree and hit the ground, I put in there that that everybody was laughing at him because he fell out of the tree. But he was a very determined squirrel, and he didn't want to he wanted to conquer that particular task. So he kept going up in the tree, and he fell a couple times, and then finally he got it. But in there, I put in there that the hurt of the ridicule to him was worse than the hurt from falling into the ground. So that's sort of a little bit of thing on bullying, but also don't make fun of people. So that's and then it's also don't give up on your dreams. You always work towards something and you're going to be good. So that's why Squirrely was a hard worker. He ended up falling with a starlet, and then he built a house for her, and then they had a family, and that was just the way I liked the life lesson there of trying to be successful in whatever you do.
Wow, that's powerful. And especially, you know, you talk about, you know, dreaming and pursuing and having that goal. And certainly, you know this, Larry, having grandchildren, it's much different times for kids and what they go through because we live in a technology era. And I like the idea, of course, of reading. And I think, well, you did mention this about the hard book and you know, having a copy that way and why that matters. Do you think that's good for kids to read that way? Because now so much is done electronically.
Well, it's either way. That's one thing about Litfire, which is good because they did. See, when I talked to Kate, my ultimate goal was to try to get with Scholastics and possibly get like a cartoon cinema for Squirrely because he's so cute and his life is so interesting. But so she said, well, in order to get to Scholastic, you have to have reviews. So I went to Blue Ink and I got to Kirkus. And then she said, now they've changed their format. So you have to have an ebook. You've got to have an audio book. So they've done all that. And Kirkus gave me a very good review on both books, but they really liked, Squirrely a lot. The only thing, and they had one criticism, which I sort of liked what I did. What I did was I had a lot of children read this book and circle words that they didn't understand. I have a feeling that sometimes our school is dumbing people down and they don't give them these larger words. So what I did is, okay, if you don't know that word, circle it. Well, what I did was I italicized those words and I made them to understand so children can understand the meaning of the word. And I put a glossary in the back of the book. Well, I don't know if they didn't realize that I was doing that because they said it was sort of a little bit annoying to see the italicized words. But the publisher and everybody else likes that idea. And they said maybe they might want me to do it in Snowy also, because I talked to my granddaughter, and she says, no, Papa, she says, I really like those bigger words, but if you don't know them, they can either find out. But so that's, I do have an italicized words in Squirrely, and then I have a glossary, which I think is good. I think sometimes the publisher will something right back and say, that word's pretty big. Well, I think when I was a child, the bigger words, we just had to learn what they meant, because that's English. But that anyway, that's my feeling on that.
Yeah, I like that. It's interesting to delve into this for the people that are listening to us. I would say, and you peeled back the onion a little bit to tell us a little bit about the publishing world. Has that been, that's got to be an interesting experience. Would you tell somebody who had a book inside them not to be afraid and take the leap?
No. And a lot of these publishers, like, well, Litfire is very, very helpful. And you can have, like the one woman I'm dealing with, Kate, she says some people just send her a pile of papers and she's got to go through them and try to make a book out of it. I don't like to do that. But they are willing, all these self-publishing companies have the ability to, they have editors, they have illustrators.
Yeah.
Squirrely was not colorized. The pictures were not colorized originally. And they said in order to make it really popular, they should be colorized. So they did colorize all the illustrations in Squirrely, and it's just, it makes the book completely different. I like the picture of the family, because they have Awkwafina and Nutella and Cornelia and then Sluggo, and they did those in color, and it's really adorable. It really is really adorable. So,
you know, and we talked about life lessons, and the same kind of thing is, you know, how squirrels sometimes get a bad rap. People try to get rid of squirrels. People shoot at squirrels. People come up with feeders that stop the squirrels. So do you think you might soften the image of the poor squirrel?
I think so. Especially now that he's sort of a person now, you know, he's lovable and he's cute, because I used to watch out of the windows when we had a lot of snow to see them, because they bury all their nuts. And that's, I don't know if you saw in the book, but I came up with this NPS, which is the nut positioning system that Squirrely came up with. And my sister did it really cute. It has like the tree and then the feeder, and there's arrows, and in his mind, he's thinking about where all these nuts are. Well, when there's snow, they don't know where the nuts are. So you'll see them dive into the snow, and then they'll come up out of the snow, and their head's all full of snow and their eyelashes. And so that's why that story came up. And then that was another, thing. One of the bigger words in the book was called Epiphany. And so, Squirrely, he was out, after all this huge snow came in, he couldn't locate the nuts and he was all upset. He says, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Then he said he had an epiphany and he realized that he was starting the wrong way on the yard. After he did that, his nut positioning system was perfect and he found all these nuts. And then he saw Starlet, who was really, really cold and hungry. And that's how he taught her how to find the nuts. I don't know whether that's double entendre, but he taught his nut positioning system. I don't know. But that was really cute, you know, and that was a true story too. But the only thing with the book is that my sister, Brian, who was very creative, who now he's, in fact, he works for Leo Burnett now. He's in charge of the Nintendo account, but he said, let's make some of this cartoonish. So like the house that he built for her, the nest, is really a house. It looks like a castle. It's not exactly true, but it's sort of cute because Squirrely sits up out on the deck and he's looking at the sun and looking at the clouds. And so that's not exact, but it's really cute.
I love it. Once again, you can pick up Larry's book, Larry Friend. You can pick it up on Amazon, certainly Barnes & Noble. Larry, continued success, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Tonight for this hour, and with everything we've talked about, as the FBI tries to unlock the phone of the serial killer, because he is like a serial killer, the lives he snuffed out in that church, I thought it would be interesting to go to the other side of the news, the lighter side. I call it news you can abuse, and luckily, there is some of that going on. When I was in television news, they used to call it the kicker. What's the kicker? Who's got the kicker? And because I always did such hard news and covered the political stuff and business, every once in a while I would be thrown the job of coming up with the kicker, and I liked it because I did like the lighter side, even though I was doing such heavy spots, you know, crimes and whatnot. But so whenever I think of the lighter side, I think of that. And so here's one for you. News you can abuse. A woman is accused of swapping barcodes at Walmart, paid only $3.70 for $1,800 worth of electronics. Did she think she was going to get away with that? Clever as she was trying to be, they had eyes on it. So this 25-year-old from Fort Pierce, Florida, charged with felony grand theft and felony shoplifting after she rang up all that electronics for just the $3.70 at a self-checkout. See, so it just goes to show you, crime does not pay. She figured she could get through. Boom. They noticed it. And before you could make off, she could make off with the goods, they stopped her. So they put her in jail. $3,000 bond. Was it really worth it? The video games, the laptop, the stuff that she was trying to get out. She said she was just trying to get gifts for her son that she couldn't afford. Oh, except for in the middle of all those gifts, she had a Coach purse, too. I just figured I should get something nice, too. Why not? Did you? If we could just all swap the barcodes, boy, wouldn't that be easy? You know, there is a method to the whole self-checkout thing, or it wouldn't work. So they're paying attention. So that's really the dumb crime. That's what that's about. Because she had to think, but she wasn't, that you would get caught doing that because it's just too darn easy. Let's put it that way. Okay, so let's move on to something else. How about this when we talk about lighter side? As we move through entertainment, although it's been pretty heavy lately with some of what is happening, with the harassment that we talked about before, there still is actually some lighter fare when it comes to entertainment, you know, again, believe it or not. And this is what's interesting, that I happen to see this, that Drake has been trying to buy a $160,000 Harry Potter book for years. He wants to treat himself, apparently. When you're Drake, what do you want to treat yourself to? And it's because, you know, he's been tweeting things out about this, that it's not a secret or anything. But what he wants is this rare book, a first edition of Harry Potter. So he was interviewed recently, and he mentioned that the first edition of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone can run up to that much money. And he said, I should get the book. My birthday's coming up. Maybe I'll buy it for myself as a treat. Who knew he was a big Harry Potter fan? But he is a big Harry Potter fan, and of course he would have the money to buy that. And there is something about getting the first edition, I suppose, and so that's on his list, his Christmas list, or his birthday list, if he could get it at Christmas. That's I guess fine too. All right, so let's move to another one. When we talk about entertainment, we talk about often who's playing what role, and isn't it amazing how far they've come, etc. And Meryl Streep and Dustin Hoffman acted in a really popular movie called Kramer versus Kramer. And I guess this thing has surfaced about the time when they were shooting this movie, which was back in 1979, and Meryl Streep is clarifying now. So isn't it funny? You think, well, I said that, and that was how many years ago? It was 38 years ago. So recently, of course, somebody unearthed this Time magazine interview where she talked about this incident when Dustin Hoffman allegedly had come up to her and burped and put his hand on her or whatever. And she said when she first met him, she thought, what an obnoxious pig, she said, of their first meeting. And this was like a quote that was in Time magazine. So apparently, whatever, he did it. He's an actor. It happened then, and he apologized. And Meryl Streep accepted that, and that was it. But now, because of everything that's happening, people are digging and things are getting a little twisted from the way they were reported or whatever. And so that came up, and Streep felt like she needed to set the record straight and say, you know, he apologized. It's an old quote. It's not an accurate rendering of the meeting. That's not really how that went down. And I have a feeling that more of that's going to happen, where there's going to be things that are unearthed from a very long time ago that aren't unearthed by the person saying this is what happened and this is horrible, but just unearthed by reading between the lines and adding in, I guess, commentary. And in this case, that was easy to go back and find. They were trying to find some things, and they found them. And then that's what it becomes. It becomes twisted sort of in a different direction. And that's what she's was trying to sort of say, that, hey, it isn't, there's something that's missing here that you're not, you know, that you're not seeing. All right, we're going back to these people in the walkouts and thinking they can get away with certain things. I was reading this story about this bride-to-be who was getting all done up for her big day, and it was a huge bill. So it was a $900 bill in the end, and she decided she was going to try to skip out on that $900 bill. High-end salons, what do you think they're going to cost you? So she wanted to look like somebody from the Rugrats on Nickelodeon, and it wasn't a cheap thing to do, what they had to do with her hair. They did it. But, you know, sadly, she thought, okay, well, now this is, I'm not going to be able to afford this California salon and spa's prices. So she thought she could skip out. I think she was saying she was talking to the front desk and was assuming she could kind of slip away. And she did slip out the door, in fact. And the thing is, they had cameras on the doors, so naturally it was pretty easy to, because she's there on film, it was pretty easy to track her down. I mean, what do? You get arrested for your haircut because you had to go to the highest end salon you could possibly go to, and they didn't ask you for the money up front. And this is, you're the bride, and you want to really look like a bride, so you're supposed to get married in a couple hours. Now, instead, you get arrested for your haircut. There's like a little bit of a familiar theme here. Excuses about trying to get presents for somebody. Haircuts and blow dries for weddings. What is the world coming to? I ask you that you feel as though you have to do that and then come up with some, try to come up with some obscure reason why, but that never works because it's not gonna, that's not gonna wash. And trust me, cops have heard it all. If anybody can spot, especially if they've been on the job for a long time, if anybody can spot somebody who's not telling the truth, I'll tell you who can. Police officers, I know, because I have a few in my family. All right, the music means that we got to toss it. Yes, sadly, we are out of time. Remember, you can always hit me up 24/7, calorie-free, americatonight.net. Click on contact. Bada-bing! Just like that. Make it count, everybody. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is
the store I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.